Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Throughout the season of Lent and our Wednesday midday services, we took a look at the last week of Jesus' life. We used the last 6 weeks of messages to look at the last 5 days of Jesus' activities prior to his death. All of which brings us to today, Palm Sunday, also recognized as the Sunday of the Passion. We're going to look today at the events of actually Thursday evening following Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. Our text today tells us that as the Passover feast was approaching, the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus. In Luke 20, a little bit earlier in the week, we're told that this same group of Jews were simply looking for some way to arrest Jesus. But now, after a week of Jesus grandstanding before the crowds, of Jesus garnering their support and him galvanizing them into a formidable following, the chief priests and teachers of law just wanted Jesus gone. As it said in our text today, they just wanted him gotten rid of, whatever that might mean and however that must be to have that take place. But they were running out of ideas and out of time. Until they got a little bit of help from none other than Satan himself. The scriptures tell us that Satan entered Judas Iscariot, of course, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and led him to approach the Jewish leaders with a plot and a plan to betray Jesus into their hands. And of course, they jumped at the suggestion and even agreed to pay him money. So he waited for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when the crowds were not present. Well, that opportunity presented itself after Jesus had eaten the Passover supper with his disciples. You all know the story. Under the cover of night, Jesus and his disciples went to that quiet place, the Garden of Gethsemane, so that Jesus could spend some time in prayer. And while he was there with the crowd safely back in their homes or their camps for the night, Judas led the members of the temple guard to where Jesus was at. And he betrayed his master, his teacher, with a kiss. And as they went to arrest Jesus, his disciples rose up to defend him. But Jesus quickly quieted their machismo. And he surrendered himself into the hands of his accusers. And they led him away to be tried and to be sentenced. As you read this story, it would be very easy to walk away believing that Jesus was the unwitting victim here. After all, he was betrayed secretly by one of his own disciples. And they came to arrest him at night in a beautiful, peaceful garden while he was lost in prayer with his Father. His disciples weren't prepared for a fight. Oh, sure, they were carrying their little knives in the scripture text to translate the word sword, but it doesn't really mean that. It probably means it's like their little fishing knives, the little utility knife they carried. And so they weren't really prepared to do battle with armed guards who came prepared for trouble. Even the disciples, even though they were prepared to put on a valiant front, They weren't prepared for a valiant fight, nor to prevent Jesus' arrest. And thus it would seem that Jesus was caught somewhat off guard by this turn of events. And so he just simply surrendered out of prudence, both for himself and for his disciples. And that might all be well and good as a valid rendering of what happened that night and why it happened that night, if it weren't for the fact that the scriptures tell us a somewhat different story. For see, in trying to tempt Jesus to sin, if you remember, after his 40 days in the wilderness, Satan quoted Psalm 91, which said, "If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus furthered our understanding of God's watchful eye over him by stating in the account of his arrest, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, these words to Peter, who was the one who tried to defend him. He said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its place. Do you think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Just to be clear, a Roman legion was made up of 6,000 men. And thus what Jesus was saying here was that if he chose to have his Father's help, he could in an instant have at his side more than 72,000 angelic warriors ready to fight to defend him. In other words, these soldiers and these thugs and these Jewish leaders who had come to arrest him could do absolutely nothing to him if he didn't allow it. Even as he was being arrested and tried and mocked and beaten and finally killed, none of it, and I do mean none of it, could have taken place if he had not allowed it to be so. It's impossible for us to fathom, in even the slightest way, the incredible resolve that Jesus had in order to complete the mission for which he came. For as we all know, it's one thing to commit to something when everything is going fine, but it's entirely something different to stand by that commitment when you are under fire. When I say under fire here, I don't mean under fire like when your friends are all ganging up on you and blaming you for something that happened. And I don't mean under fire like when your boss has it in for you and is looking for a way to fire you. And I don't mean under fire like soldiers on a battlefield in the midst of an ambush firefight. I mean under fire in the sense of the burning, white-hot fires of hell, being totally separated from the love and the protection of God, his Father, shouldering the torture of God's wrath for all sin, for all people, for all time. For Jesus to allow himself to suffer that humility and that torture on the cross, and to be escorted to such a fate by the hands of mere mortals, the mortals whom he created, is simply beyond our comprehension. But Jesus did it because of his great love for us. He fulfilled the scriptures, and he completed his mission willfully, humbly, obediently. He suffered, he died, and he rose again to forgive us and to give us the gift of everlasting life. Our salvation is the result of his love and his plan and his sacrifice, not simply the result of some unfortunate set of circumstances that somehow resulted in his death. The chief priests were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus. But he was looking for a way to save us. I guess they both got what they wanted. To God be the glory. In the name of Jesus, his Son, amen.